This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. So glad you're joining us today. Super excited to have one of our old friends, a friend of the show, as we like to say, and a fantastic author. Of course, we're talking about Jeffrey D. Burton and his latest book, The Second Grave, a Chicago canine thriller. And it is another fantastic mystery. So we're going to have Jeffrey come on, tell us a little bit about the latest in the series, and not give away all the good tidbits, but tell us a little bit about what's happening and all the new characters and the old characters as well. And then, of course, we can't let him off the hook unless we talk to him a little bit about writing, how he masters his craft and becomes a great, great, critically acclaimed author. So we're going to have a fun show today. Super excited. Everybody, hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is our good buddy, Jeffrey B. Burton, and his new book, The Second Grave, a Chicago canine thriller. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for having me.
We're super excited. I was glad to see the book. I know we talked about it during our last interview that you're busy cranking away, handwriting every single thing on here because we know you're old school. No AI here. Come on now. He's a pro. But the latest one is called The Second Grave, a Chicago Canine Thriller. It's part of the series. So tell us a little bit about this particular mystery and how it ties into the series and what can the readers expect?
Sure. Yeah. You know, Tim, I've had so many different villains. You know, I've had serial killers and I've had corrupt politicians and drug cartels and even some spies. And so I wanted to do something different. So in The Second Grave, it kind of starts with a bank robbery. I've always wanted to rob a bank. So in the case of The Second Grave, it's kind of an epic bank robbery that happened 30 years ago, where the Crown National Bank in downtown Chicago during the day was robbed, and the bank crew got away with millions of dollars, and a security guard was killed. But they never caught the robbers. They never caught them. They disappeared. The FBI, Chicago Police Department, they were never caught. So it kind of achieved that D.B. Cooper, if you remember.
Yeah.
I think he hijacked a plane and then jumped out with a parachute.
Right. And still don't know where he's at or the money or anything, supposedly.
Right, right. And so this robbery has kind of achieved legendary status. And so now, and our hero, Corey Pratt, is a dog handler, and he specializes in human remains detection dogs. And it starts where an elderly man is at a family reunion in Kankakee River State Park, which is an hour, hour and a half south of Chicago. And this elderly gentleman kind of walks away from the family reunion, and he goes missing. And so they call in the cadaver dogs because they, you know, assume the poor old guy has passed away. And so Corey shows up with his bloodhound, Alice, and his Springer Spaniel, Rex, to help search for the guy. And ultimately, the guy is found in a real desolate part of the park. But then the dogs find a couple of graves. They find two graves, and one of them has several bodies in it. And the second grave, title of the book, The Second Grave, has one person. And as the police start to peel back the onion, they start to go, my God, this might be, you know, a good chunk of the bank crew. And they never really made it beyond. They probably just lived a couple of days beyond the bank heist. And that's how the bad people have gotten away with it. They took care of the bank crew. And that's kind of where the book starts. And there's some twists and turns and hopefully a fun ride.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always love it how you've got, you know, like the, it's not a normal canine dog trainer, you know, a little bit more advanced cadavers looking for lost bites. So there's a nice tie in there. But all of a sudden, you know, you're going from okay, I'm a dog trainer. And then all of a sudden you're smack dab right in the middle of the thriller and the investigation and the mystery that goes along with it.
Right. And his sister is about, I don't know, 5 or 10 years older than he is. And she's a Crystal Pratt is a Chicago Police Department detective. And so she's the one, they kind of had a bit of a family tragedy some years earlier. And so she's trying to pull him a little bit out of his shell. And so she's kind of set him up with helping the police department or the sheriff department or the FBI if someone goes missing with the cadaver dogs. And so she winds up investigating the case once they find out that it's related to the bank robbery in Chicago. Then she takes part of it. Some FBI are involved and some other police are involved. And then things get scary. There are some survivors and they really don't want their secrets to come to the light of day.
Nice. Nice. So the cast of characters, who remains and who are some of the new ones that we've introduced into the this particular mystery?
You know, we get to know more and more about the dogs. You know, I have fun with that. And, you know, I mean, Alice is the bloodhound, and you find out that bloodhounds, of course, you know, they're known, they're one of the best trackers. And part of that is their, you know, their face is like a wrinkled washcloth. It's so wrinkled that they actually, having the wrinkles in the face allows them to capture scents. And that gives them just, you know, a little bit of a leg up on some of the other sniffer dogs. And then Springer Spaniels are also, they make good cadaver dogs. They've got the good sized, you know, snout. And I've got a beagle sleeping next to me here, and he's all sorts of fun. I mean, I'll take him for a walk, and he would make, if he had a trainer. I'm not a trainer. I don't have the patience, but it's fun taking him for a walk, and I'll see 50 yards ahead, a rabbit will run by, and I'm like, no.
Uh-oh.
And then we hit the part where the rabbit ran by, and then he does, you know, both sides of the trail and, you know, tries to hunt it down. And so I have to pause and watch.
Because they get fixated. Once they get on that scent, it's over. And I tell people that all the time, especially if they're walking off leash, you know, they, anytime they could be the best trained dog out there. But anytime that one little time the rabbit runs across or the deer goes into the woods or whatever, then it's game on.
It's actually hilarious. Is we've got our house is shrouded by a ravine, and we've got a privacy fence, which is kind of good because periodically some coyotes will kind of happen by. And so, you know, last night it's 15 or 20 below, and I take him out at night to do the final thing. And he goes out there and he starts looking, and I'm like, no, not when it's 20 below. And then he goes running towards the fence, and I assume there were some deer. And like, oh, no. Oh, don't make me walk outside in 20 below.
Oh, gosh. It always happens that way, though. Always happens, you know, when the time when you're in a hurry or something of a sort, it's not going to happen. And yeah, the middle of the winter, I'm sure, definitely. We're talking about the second grave. How did you go about, like, intertwining it to the first book in the series? Were there parts that just paralleled into this latest thriller, or was there, are they two standalone type books? How would you view them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they can stand alone. I mean, the characters are the same, Corey and Crystal Pratt from the Dead Years, but they can stand alone. I mean, some folks that have done the advanced review copies didn't read the first one and were like, oh, yeah, well, this is good. This, you know, you got in the first couple of chapters, sneak in a little description and a little bit about them, but not as heavy as it was in the first book, The Dead Years. And basically, I just love putting them in some crazy situations and having the dogs maybe try to save Corey, save Crystal. And one part of the book, they're on kind of a stakeout with them. And so He has an interesting way of kind of looking at life, an interesting bit of humorous way, and gets along with the dogs maybe better than he does with human beings. And so I try to have a little bit of fun with that. Alice is a incredible cadaver dog, and Rex is, he's good, but he's also a little squirrely and a little goofy, and I have fun with Rex. I have some fun with him.
And I would think that would be the key thing, especially when you're talking about trying to build a series. You know, you want the books to stand alone, because if someone happened to miss the first one or is new to the series, they could enjoy, like you said, the second one as well as the first one. But yet you still have the main characters. And so you've got to sort of reintroduce them without spending too much time on them and moving on, because you want to tie in the new people, would imagine. But on the other hand, you have the fans that are expecting to know more about what the latest greatest is going on with the main characters.
Right. And it's always fun with cadaver dogs, because whenever they find a body, there's going to be at least a little bit of a mystery, and then maybe a pretty big Pandora's box of a mystery, like in this case. And, you know, I've had the dogs find bodies in different areas. And so this was kind of fun to have them find some graves and have it turn out to be a bit of a cold case. And I'm working on the third book in the series, and I wanted to do something different for that, and not really giving anything away, but they find something inside a wall. There's something behind a wall.
Uh-oh. Here.
You guys will have to wait a year for that one.
Well, that's great. We'll definitely wait for a year for that one for sure. But I love the fact that you tie in the characters that we've grown to know and expand on them, allow them to have, you know, continue on so we can get to know them a little bit better and have a little bit of new excitement with them. But on the other hand, we have a whole new mystery that we have to encounter. So I think it's a great blend that you put together.
Yeah, I really enjoy my idea. If I read a mystery and the author is able to pull the rug out from me, you know, at least once, I'm going to love him for life. I just, you know, I'll read some Mike O'Connelly, because he's just been able to, every book, get me where you're like, oh no, wow, that changes everything.
Right, right. Yeah. Talk about pulling the rug out. I mean, what is that exactly? I mean, is there in what you try to do with your books in order to be able to do that? And then how, as a writer, as an author, you determine where to put that rug, you know, and that's the key. Because a lot of time, and you imagine a lot of books I've read through the years, especially the mysteries, they kind of wait till the end, you know, hope they get you with that aha moment, or, you know, you didn't know they saw dead people, you know, at the end of the show or the end of the book. And that's a great hook too. But for me, like you had said, you know, I want to know when I'm halfway through the book, I've already got this figured out. And then all of a sudden I turn to the next chapter and I don't know anything about what I, you know, I don't have it figured out at all.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when it comes to short stories, I would always try to write like an O. Henry thing that would turn everything upside down at the end of the story. And for these, there's kind of the debate on whether you're a plotter, whether you have everything plotted out. Yeah. Maybe you've got 65 chapters, and before you even write anything, you have a paragraph on each chapter. And that way you can kind of look through it and find out where you want to put the surprise. And in my case, I used to do it that way, but now I'm more what they call the seat of the pants, where I'll have an idea for the book. And in this case, I like the title, The Second Grave, because you're like, well, there's a first grave, you know? And then I enjoy knowing like where I'm going and just knowing like what I'm going to be doing for the next couple of chapters. And I want to have a lot of little twists and turns, like at the end of a chapter, have something that'll grab them and make them want to, you know, before they fall asleep, read one more chapter before they fall asleep. And then I'll want to have at least one major gotcha moment in the book, and hopefully a couple, plus all the different twists and turns as you go along. I think that's the kind of stuff I love. And so I try to set mine up to kind of get folks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. And, you know, I think that's important for an author, for a writer, is, you know, usually you can find a genre that you like and enjoy, but also you write it as much for yourself, I would say, as the audience, because you figure if you like it, there's a good chance that they're going to get it and like it as well.
Yeah. I think years ago when I just even started writing, I was doing short stories. And, you know, when I started out, horror stories were what were paying. And so I was writing these little horror stories, and I knew I had a good one when I just started giggling, because I'd taken such a crazy concept that if you looked at it in broad daylight, you'd go, what on earth? This is just absurd. If I was able to write it up and pass it off as something that would just, you know, really creep someone out and then have it kind of turn on its head at the end, it kind of made me chuckle a little, and I go, I did it. And, you know, sometimes when I'm writing the full-length novels, I kind of get that feeling where I think I pulled it off. I think I'm pulling the rug out from under them.
Nice. I love it. Well, you definitely have with the book, The Second Grave, a Chicago Canine Thriller. So I love the tie-in, the carry-on. I love the independent mystery part of it, but also enjoying the character, seeing them again and find out what the latest greatest, what they've got going on. So great job with that. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll continue our conversation after break with Jeffrey B. Burton, talk a little bit more about the book, and I want to talk to him a little more about his writing as well. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continuing our conversation with author Jeffrey B. Burton and his latest book, The Second Grave, a Chicago Canine Thriller. Now, Jeffrey, when you put together the book, you got it out, you're ready to go, everybody's buying a copy of the book, reading it, loving it, loving the mystery, waiting for the next one to come out. What is your overall goal as a writer and author as far as individual books or just as it, when putting together a series? Is there a thing you say, hey, if the audience gets this, that, or the other thing out of it, then I've done my job?
It's kind of funny, Tim, is this is my third series that I've written. And I never, I just kind of wrote standalone novels. And then when discussing with publishers and my agent, they're like, well, do you think you'd be able to have enough ideas to kind of do a series? And it would be pretty silly to go, no.
How much money, first of all, and then secondly, no.
He says, oh, you get it. It's a standalone. Leave me alone. So you just kind of go, okay, yeah, I'll be able to, yeah, sure. You know, anytime there's a grave that they find, there's some mystery there. So plenty of ideas. Plus, it helps that I'm having fun with these. And my wife and I, we just kind of now and again adopt dogs that nobody wants, and I have fun, and some of their characteristics kind of comes through in some of the stuff in the books. Rex in the book, I've got Milo, who's sitting at my feet, and he's a lovable ham of a beagle, and so I'll take some of his traits and throw them into Rex, some of the humorous stuff. Last summer, I was taking Milo for a walk, and, you know, there's a garage sale that they're setting up, and I don't know, Friday, Saturday morning. And so I'm looking around, I'm looking, well, actually I'm looking, Tim, to see if they have a book table, you know, well, buys the books. And then I look over and they'd had some stuff in the corner of their driveway where I'm standing, and Milo's got his leg up and he's, you know, taking a,
oh no.
I know. I got out of there quick. Nobody saw. And I got us the hell out of there. And then I took the long way home so I wouldn't see him on the way back. You know, I think I added another mile, so.
I love it. It kind of reminds me, so a story from today, actually. I've got a little 8-pound schnauzer, and she rules the world. And we've been getting her out more and more on walks, got her a nice little harness recently. So we picked different parks and different areas to walk. And one of the neighborhoods nearby has it was huge communities. They got all these walking paths and all these playgrounds, all this wonderful stuff for this little dog to investigate. And so as you walk into one of the main parts, they have one of those My Little Libraries. I don't know if you've seen any of these. They're like independent.
Yeah.
library stands. You buy, or other people buy, or they donate, and then people put their books in there, and you take a book and you put a book back, all that good stuff. So of course, you know, being an author, I had to put one of my books in there. And so I put it in there. Of course, you know, my wife said, no, turn it this way. So yours is the one they see the most, you know, put it towards the front. I'm like, okay, go ahead and do that. So long story short, we're taking our little walk. I always check in to see if my book had been picked up or not and maybe replace it with a new one or whatever. And then I look down at my little dog and yeah, she's peeing on the stand on the My Little Library. She's hiking her little leg. She's a female dog, but she does her little boy pose every once in a while to just get it good and dusted. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. Pee on daddy's book. That's a nice sentiment.
Way to go. I didn't know you were a critic.
You know, exactly. She's like, I've read this one, seen this too much. Get it out of here.
You know, we beat up some of those. I think I tossed one of my old books in there. And then I came by the next day and it was gone. So I like to consider I sold out.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a bestseller at this particular little kiosk, book kiosk, whatever they're
called.
There
you go. Yeah. Yeah. I used to love walking into like Barnes and Noble and checking out the discount areas and for my own purposes to buy whatever caught my eye. But then cheekily looked to see if my book was there. And I didn't know where to get offended if it was there on discount or get offended that it wasn't there because it wasn't even worthy of the discount area. I don't know. I don't know which one of those to think.
You know, do you guys have the half price bookstores?
Yeah.
There's one near my house, and I was over there a year ago, and I'm looking through, and then I see one of mine. Someone brought it to half price and got a penny or 40 cents for it. And so I took a picture of it and then threw it on Facebook because I said, okay, which one of you did this?
I love it. Hey, as long as it's out there and somebody's enjoying it, even if they just bought it for a penny, I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
Yeah. If I had a pen on, if I had a pen on me, I would have taken it down, signed it, put it back up and
there you go. Then nobody would have wanted it. But anyway, that's a different story. All right, then. Well, everybody go out and pick up a copy of the book. You're going to love it. You know, start the series, pick up everything that Jeff's got going on out there. It's Jeffrey B. Burton, The Second Grave, a Chicago canine thriller. And it is a thriller, and it's full of all kinds of twists and turns and exciting things. And most of all, it has dogs. So that's always make it a good seller. So Jeffrey, hey, thanks for coming back on the show today. We always love talking to you. Congratulations on another success here. And we're looking forward. You've already let the cat out of the bag. Got the third one coming. So you know where you're going to be somewhere down the road. You're going to be back here at Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, ideas, comments for us at the show, drop us a line. You can go to PetLifeRadio.com and leave us a question, a comment, and let us know who you want to hear from the most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia barking fun. That's at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.